This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes the political economics column, and he introduces all of us to Robert Triffin, 1911 to 1993, an economist, Belgian, and he is known now, thanks to Joe, as the author of The Triffin Dilemma. Joe, I love this story. I'm not going to try to tell it too much because your explanation is articulate and precise. But in any event, I learned from you that that infamous moment when Richard Nixon decided to take the U.S. off the gold standard is part of the story of the Triffin Dilemma. What is the Triffin Dilemma that the White House is now paying attention to? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. So, I mean, we all remember some version of that old John Maynard Keynes quip about how every intelligent man is the slave in some form to a defunct economist. And that is surprisingly true for a bunch of economists, especially people who are influential in President Trump's circle, regarding Robert Triffin, a defunct Belgian economist. He passed away in 1993. And he had a moment of influence in the late 1950s into the 1960s because he predicted the collapse of the Bretton Woods currency system. Remember, starting after the war and through the 1970s, we had a global monetary arrangement where the rest of the developed countries in Europe fixed their currencies to the dollar, and then the dollar was fixed to gold at an exchange rate of $1 per or $35 per ounce. And so Triffin had developed a theory that the system was very unstable, and it was the crux of it was that global demand for dollars, because that was the world's safe asset, would require the U.S. to keep racking up huge liabilities so that we would have things like bonds and equity to send overseas to satisfy that demand for dollars. And those U.S. liabilities eventually would outstrip the gold supply, and then you would have a run on gold. And you might wonder why anyone cares about this now, because it was a theory about a bygone era. I mean, Bretton Woods has been defunct for more than 50 years now. But I think that the core of it is that Triffin was describing a world in which the U.S. is disadvantaged by the rest of the world's demand for dollars. And this global demand for dollars forces on the U.S. a bunch of unpalatable policy choices. And that theory is turning out to be surprisingly durable. And people keep dusting it off and sort of reformulating bits and pieces of it to get around the fact that the specific phenomena that Robert Triffin was describing in the late 50s and 60s no longer exist.
I note, however, that the world apparently doesn't know about the Triffin Dilemma, or they'd own more of our debt, correct? They used to own a lot of it, 40% of it. Now they own 16%. Is there something else going on here?
Well, I think the key thing that's going on is that Robert Triffin's theory isn't really quite correct. And it wasn't correct when he articulated it in the late 50s, early 60s. And the modern versions of it don't fare any better when you compare them to data about things that are actually happening here in the real world. So, I mean, if you go back and you look at the original Triffin theory, the specific thing that he was predicting is that you could end up with one of two situations. Either the U.S. would continue meeting the global demand for dollar liabilities because other countries needed dollars for reserve purposes. And then those liabilities would exceed the U.S. stockpile of gold, and there would be a global run on gold, and that would force the U.S. to impose punishing interest rate increases, and we would have deflation and a recession or depression. Or the U.S. would balance its budget and not supply the world with global liquidity, and you would end up with deflation and recession or depression somewhere else. And of course, in the event neither of those things happened, because he hadn't counted on the third simplest option, which is that the U.S. would decide that, you know, Congress and the president didn't want to be bound by gold anymore. And so we would eventually go off of this gold exchange standard, and then the world would experience inflationary crises. So you already had this issue where Triffin would sometimes sort of claim credit for having predicted the collapse of the Bretton Woods system. That wasn't really true because he got the mechanism all wrong. But, you know, the more modern day version of this, which I think is very commonly held in parts of President Trump's circle, is that that global demand for dollars is what forces us to run a trade deficit, because that trade deficit is the way that we end up, you know, exporting dollars to the rest of the world to pay for all of the imports. And this has bad implications for the U.S. economy, including manufacturing hollowing out. And yet, the rest of the world demands dollars with such a voracious appetite that the world economy would fall apart if we didn't satisfy that demand. And in fact, there isn't really a lot of evidence for this. I mean, no member of Congress is saying, I would love to cut welfare spending by $100, but China really needs that extra $100 treasury notes in their reserve, so I guess we have to borrow and spend the money anyway. No one in Washington thinks that way. They just decide that they want to borrow and spend, and then the rest of the world copes with it. And, you know, one instance of that is the fact that actually the world's reliance on the dollar as a reserve asset seems to be diminishing a bit since 2008. So treasuries, fewer of them as a proportion of the total float of treasury bonds outstanding, a smaller percentage is held in official reserves now than was the case 15 years ago. That suggests the rest of the world doesn't really need dollars. And this whole very Trumpian theory that the trade deficit is something that the rest of the world inflicts on America by operation of these Triffin-style capital flows, that there isn't really a lot there.
Now we come to the connection. Stephen Moran, chairman of the Council on Economic Advisers, has been nominated to the Federal Reserve Board because the White House finds his paper that you note was posted in November, attractive. And Stephen Moran has a remedy for the perception of something that you've just said doesn't exist. What is his remedy, Joe?
Well, so what we're talking about here is a paper that Steve Moran published back in November, which I think a lot of people perceived as his application for a job in the Trump administration, which he got at the Council of Economic Advisers in the end, in which he sketched out a theory of global trade and financial flows. And he really emphasized this modern day version of the Triffin dilemma as a big problem for the U.S. economy and a driver of the American trade deficit. And so his solution was to try to crack down on foreign hoarding of dollars to make the dollar less desirable as a reserve asset. And so one possibility here would be to impose a tax of some sort. He called it a user fee on foreign governments that hold treasury bonds in their exchange reserve funds. This would take the form of unilaterally reducing the interest payment there. And the theory is that by hoarding these dollars, these countries are inflicting economic costs on the U.S. In a speech in April, once he was in the administration, he suggested that these other governments could just write a check to the U.S. Treasury to compensate for the economic costs the U.S. is supposed to bear as part of these arrangements. But again, I think that the this has the causation all backwards. It's hard to argue that foreign countries are forcing us to run such huge fiscal deficits and then accumulate trade deficits along the way. It's more a matter that Congress just likes to spend money that we don't have. And voters seem to reward that. And it's really hard to see how taxing the foreign governments that are prepared to buy some portion of that debt is really going to be helpful. It didn't seem very well thought out politically.
So we're treating foreign governments, if this was to go forward, we're treating foreign governments as people who live on our land and they've got to pay for it. It's rent.
Pretty much. I mean, the whole crux of this, and I think that this is something that Robert Triffin didn't necessarily intend in the original formulation of his theory, but it has really become central to the way a lot of Trump-affiliated or associated economists think about the world. I think that they have settled on this theory about trade and capital flows because it sort of puts the U.S. in the role of a victim here. The suggestion is that we don't get to choose our own economic policies. They are forced on us by the decisions of others. And that absolves Congress of any ability to, you know, reform entitlements like Social Security and Medicare or balance the budget. So, I mean, politically, it's great if you can pull it off. But economically, there isn't a lot of there.
So they're forcing us to cut taxes to that grows the deficit. That we're victims of having to cut taxes.
Yes, I mean, you can never really articulate a clear mechanism by which this happens, because remember, in order for this theory to work, a member of Congress would have to say, well, I would really like to spend less money, but some foreign government needs me to borrow more so that we can issue the treasury bonds that they will use in their foreign reserves. Ask yourself if any member of Congress has ever said such a thing to himself or herself, and you start running into trouble making sense of this economic theory. But again, it sort of holds out the prospect that, you know, the solution to our problems are capital controls or taxes on some foreign government or tariffs, and not what you know and I know, which is that really the solution to our economic problems would largely involve getting government spending under control and reforming our own entitlements.
We're headed to the Federal Reserve with Stephen Moran, presuming he is approved by the U.S. Senate, which is part of the story when we come back. Joseph Sternberg, he is the political economics columnist based in London for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. I'm John Batchelor.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.